from deep inside your audio device of choice.
Well, in the real world, we're almost to springtime, ladies and gentlemen. But in the online world, the crypto winter continues unabated. A record $12.5 billion in losses from online scams were reported to the FBI in 2023, fueled by a surge in cryptocurrency investment fraud. That's according to the FBI in a statement issued this week. Yeah, cryptocurrency investment fraud. Think of it. You don't have to. They already did. It's a more than $2 billion increase in total losses from scams reported the year before. By far the highest tally of losses from digital scams since the FBI began reporting on the subject more than two decades ago. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called progress. Quote, profit-driven cyber criminals and nation-state adversaries alike have the capability to paralyze entire school systems, police departments, healthcare facilities, and individual private sector entities. FBI Executive Assistant Director put private sector companies last. More than a third of the $12.5 billion in losses reported last year, or $4.5 billion, were due to investment scams, many of them involving criminals pretending to be someone's love interest and tricking them into investing in phony cryptocurrency schemes, according to the FBI. That may be a redundancy. The annual cybercrime report from the FBI was one of the best glimpses of the financial impact of online fraud, says CNN. But it only offers a partial picture, as many victims do not report scams, like they're ashamed or something. Speaking of love affairs, as we were a moment ago, here's some apologies of the week. A K-pop star, it's Korean pop music, for those of you who are older than 12, has issued a groveling apology after incensed fans accused her of betrayal, this K-pop star, because she has a boyfriend. This from BBC News. The fans reportedly drove a truck to pop star Karina's agency after finding out she was dating actor Lee Jae-wook, who wasn't. No. How do fans find the agency for a star? That's how advanced Korea is. Quote, is the love given to you by your fans not enough? Read an electronic billboard on the truck driven to the agency. In a letter shared on Instagram, the frontwoman of a group called Aespa vowed to heal the wounds she had inflicted. I apologize for surprising you greatly, the 23-year-old wrote, promising to show, quote, a more mature and hardworking side, unquote, in the future. The singer, real name Yoo Ji-min, has led the four-woman group, Aespa, since their debut 4 years ago, with the single Black Mamba. This is not an isolated incident. Pop stars in South Korea and Japan work in a notoriously pressurizing industry where such personal revelations can be tricky to navigate. Just a decade ago, it was common practice for K-pop agencies to ban new stars from dating or even having a personal mobile phone. Even now, admissions of romantic relationships are often considered scandalous to fans. In Japan, many pop stars are bound by no dating clauses in their contracts. Getting married requires permission. Sounds like Hollywood in the 30s, doesn't it? And 40s. Dateline St. Louis TV station KMOV has apologized after an outdated racial term, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, was mistakenly read on air by an anchor, leading to widespread criticism of the station. In a late February broadcast, evening anchor Corey Stark referred to minority homeowners as, quote, colored, unquote, while previewing an investigative story about the impact of racial bias on home appraisals. Quote, Tonight, colored homeowners are sounding the alarm when it comes to undervalued home appraisals, unquote, Stark said on the air. His use of the word drew swift criticism online. The National Association of Black Journalists chastised KMOV in a statement. Quote, the term is outdated, offensive, and racist, said the NABG. BJ, we're concerned that no one in the newsroom caught this error, and we question KMOV's editorial process when it comes to cultural awareness, given that St. Louis's population is 43% black and the city is no stranger to racial strife. We would hope KMOV would be more sensitive in how it covers the black community. BJ continued, the racial descriptor colored was common during eras of legalized segregation, is now considered an outdated and unacceptable term for black, indigenous, and other people of color, said the newspaper. In an emailed statement, J.D. Sosnoff, KMOV's vice president and general manager, said the station did not intend to include colored in the broadcast. It was in an original script as, quote, homeowners of color, unquote, and was inadvertently changed and mistakenly read on air. Sosnoff said, we regret the error and apologize to our viewers on air at 10 p.m. Monday night and 6:30 p.m. Tuesday night. In the on-air apology, Stark said KMOV is meeting with community members as we strive to do better every day, unquote. Dateline Houston, the police chief apologized to victims and their families this week after an internal review revealed about 264,000 criminal incident reports were suspended in the past 8 years due to a lack of personnel. Houston Police Chief Troy Finner announced that hundreds of thousands of incident reports were dropped because a lack of personnel code was assigned to them. The number of reports, which included violent crimes, sexual assault, and property crimes, represents about 10% of the 2.8 million incident reports filed in the last 8 years. I apologize, this is a quote from the police chief, I apologize to victims, their families, our citizens, for the use of the code for sexual assault incidents and other violent crimes against persons. This is not the trauma-informed victim-centric services they deserve. Again, this code, for lack of personnel, should never have been used and never will be used again. Unquote. And State Senator from Minnesota Jean Dornink called a female Delta pilot a stewardess during a hearing this week, leading him to immediately apologize after being corrected. Just a reminder, this is Female History Month. He must have been watching the response to the State of the Union address from a kitchen. Laura Hayner spoke on behalf of the Airline Pilots Association during a Senate Labor Committee hearing a bill to modify the state's earned sick and safe time law. Following some comments and questions, Dornink, a Republican from Browndale, asked her a question. Can you tell me what a typical work week looks like for you as a stewardess? Responded Hayner, I'm a first officer for Delta. Pardon me, Dornink said. I'm a pilot, Hayner said. Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't know why I said that, I'm so sorry. I know why. The Apologies of the Week, copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Hello, welcome to the show.
isolation. Ooh, it's the only way to be. Just for the lack of stimulation. Ooh, so come self-isolate with me.
Ladies and gentlemen, self-isolating is a little bit lonelier today for me. A friend and colleague for a number of years, who's counting, passed away this weekend. I had seen him last about a year ago, and the physical toll that his 3-decades-long fight against multiple sclerosis had taken on him was evident, as was his brilliance and his funny, which were undimmed. And it struck me that a lot of people saw him starring in a television series, but weren't familiar with the range of just exactly how funny he could be. I had that privilege because I worked with him for about 6 years on a comedy group called The Credibility Gap. We were on the radio. We were on the radio just like I am now. Nutty. And we had what I thought was the best job in the world, but I was in my 20s. 3 10-minute shows a day, making fun of the news. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy now, but I was in my 20s, as were we all. And it seemed easy, and David made it a whole lot easier. David Lander, I'm talking about. David L. Lander. He was, as I said on Twitter this weekend, the guy who taught me, really, he didn't teach me anything. He just was the best example I'd ever seen of you feed him a premise, you say something that's in the news or something that you noticed, and before gravity has taken hold of that ball that you've thrown in the air, he's hit it out of the park. He's come up with the perfect punchline. He was a, and this is not meant in any derogatory way, he was a punchline machine. He just had that gift of turning it just that little bit. And I'm sorry to say that even though I did collect an awful lot of the material we did together, along with Michael McKeon and the late Richard Beebe, a lot of it is inaccessible to me right now because it's analog, and I'm all digital, you know? So I'm going to bring you today two or three of the things that I think showcase David to the greatest effect, and there may be more at a later time. And also on today's show, lest you think it's only about the past, there is a song of the season and of the moment coming up, so stick around for that. Now, this first Credibility Gap piece is kind of a great example of how a comedy idea evolves and finally devolves. There was a comedy group when we were plying our trade that was way more successful than we were. I won't mention their names. And they were known, not behind their backs, out of their own mouths. I think in a memorable interview with a California alternative weekly, for borrowing the material of other comedy acts. And I'm using maybe 3 or 4 sets of air quotes around borrowing. So we, David and Michael and I, and Richard in our group, decided to write a piece for our stage act, seen by dozens, that basically satirized that act that was much more successful than we were because they were stealing other people's material. And so we did a riff off what was then the most well-known classic comedy bit in the world, Abbott and Costello's Who's On First. And we did it kind of in the style of that other act. And you'll hear the punchline, which was basically the pointed comment at the end that brought it around to what this was really about. Well, we started doing it on stage, and we shortly learned that the audience didn't care about the trappings of this other act that we had laid on this bit. They liked the bit for itself. So we stopped doing the trappings and just did the bit straight. And by straight, I don't mean. And we were asked if it could be filmed for a film that the guy was making, which was, for which he was filming a lot of local comedy acts around L.A., doing their, quote, best bits, unquote. And then they were going to drape some casual storyline, very tentatively connecting all these bits. Sure, nobody else was filming us. So from that moment to today, when you go on now YouTube, you will see the only visual version of that piece as it appears in that movie, in its entirety, except for the punchline. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, punchline and all.
The following incident takes place in the advertising department of the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah, hello, Louise. Yes. Did that rock and roll promoter ever show? What rock and roll promoter? You know, the one who's going to take out the full page ad. Did he ever show? I bet he didn't. Oh, he did, huh? Well, will you please tell him that he is 6 minutes late by my watch, and my watch is 5 minutes fast? Yes, tell him that. Well, I don't know what that comes. Just have him figure it out. Will you please send him in? Thank you. I can't believe these people. They either show up or they don't show up, or they show up or they don't show up, or they...
Excuse me, Mr. Hickenlooper?
Yes, I'm Walter Hickenlooper.
Yeah, how you do? My name is Danny Drollinger. I'm with Conquest Concerts. We do all the big rock and roll shows, you know, in the outlying areas. We did Festival de Salsa at the Orange Show Auditorium. You know, all that stuff. We've done business with you people before.
Well, yeah.
And I came down here personally today because I want a huge full-page ad. We're doing a very big rock show out of the Big O.
The Big O? What is that, Winchell's Donuts?
What's the problem, sir? You new to the area?
No.
Well, everybody around here knows this. The Big A, the Big O, the Big I. Mm-hmm. The Big A is Anaheim Stadium.
That I know.
The Big O is Ontario Motor Speedway.
Ah, Ontario Motor Speedway.
Okay.
What's the Big I?
That's me.
Yeah,
you can write that down if you want.
No, I'm not going to put that.
Well, it won't hurt to remember
it.
You know, I'm going to be around in town for a while.
Right.
Okay, anyway, look.
Ontario
it's
Motor
a
Speedway.
Very, very different kind of rock and roll show. No smoke bombs, no lasers, and most important, no opening acts.
Uh-huh.
Just three headline supergroups.
Oh, my goodness.
Boom, 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 like that, you know?
Boom, boom, yes.
So I want them to have equal belling, equal weight.
All right, well, the easiest way to do that is why don't we just list them in the order they appear. How's that? One, two, and three.
Good idea. I like the way you work.
Well, thank you very much.
Maybe we'll do some business with you in the future.
I sure hope so.
Okay.
All right, well, let's start with the first act, shall we?
Fine.
Okay, who's on first?
Mr. Hickenlooper, if my secretary has already given you the information, you know, there's no sense for me to be here. I could be out booking Sly in Spokane.
I know.
So if you got it...
No, wait a minute. Yeah. I just said who's on first.
That's right.
Ah,
you
that's
see,
right. Oh, I like that name. That's right. It's so affirmative. It's so sure of itself.
Don't write that's right. That's wrong.
That's wrong. Well, that's a bit more negative, I suppose, with these times and all. That's wrong.
Mr. Hickenlooper?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that's right. It's not that's wrong.
Well, then, who's on first?
Who's on first?
Who is on first?
Who is on first?
Who?
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 Who's on first?
That's right.
That's right. I got it down here.
Look, Mr. Hickenlooper. You get on the Pomona Freeway. You drive your car out to Ontario Motor Speedway. You get out. You give the man the ticket. You sit down in your seat. The guy on stage comes out and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present who?"
Who?
That's right.
That's right. All right. It's a fine group as far as I'm concerned. You're upset, right?
You could say I'm upset.
We're having a communication problem. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Let's just get this straight before my quaalude kicks in, okay? That's all I ask.
Fine. All right. Let's just... Well, then we'll start with the second act.
Fine.
I don't know why I didn't suggest this to begin with. Okay. Who's on second?
Who's on first?
Wait a minute. What's the name of the second act?
Guess who?
I'm not familiar with the genre here.
I don't have any genre. Look, it's just three rock and roll acts. Guess who?
Give me a chance. The Dingling Sisters.
They're not even sisters, Mr. Hickenlooper. Guess who?
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods?
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Right,
I am not running no goddamn Busch Gardens, pal. Let's get that straight. Right. This is Conquest Concerts.
Okay.
Nothing but class.
Okay.
Guess who?
I can't guess who.
You don't have to guess who.
Well, then I won't guess who.
So don't guess who.
All right.
I will tell you something frankly, sir.
What?
I didn't have this much trouble with the free press.
Oh. You didn't, huh? Well, I'll tell you something frankly, sir. I didn't have this much trouble with the Music Center, and they put on Rigoletto 1 year.
That's four acts.
Not the year they did it. All right, now let's just move on to the third act, huh? Will you please tell me the name of the third act?
Yes.
fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. You let me see a proof of the act Wednesday, and we'll be...
Wait a minute! Where are you going? Wait a minute! I asked you to tell me the name of the third act.
I told you the name of the third act! You want me to tell you again?
Yes.
That's right!
That's what's on first!
Who's on first? Guess who's on second in the third act?
Yes?
That's right! What's your problem?
I've been writing for 11 minutes. I got nothing on the paper. That's my problem. Why don't you take the paper, you take the pen, and you write it down.
Are you crazy? If I could write, I wouldn't have had to steal this bit.
I was... Ooh.
Now, in other news related to President Trump, of course, his one of the people who was most active in lobbying for him not to get out of the Paris Peace Accords was his daughter Ivanka and her husband, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. He remains, according to all reports, among the most trusted, if not the most trusted, of the president's advisors. Speaking of the Olympics, of course, they're going on right now, are they? I wouldn't know. So skateboarding, as I say, sport climbing and surfing, new to these Olympics. Quoting IOC President Thomas Bach, "We want to take sport to the youth. We have to go to them," unquote.
You take the intensity of athletic competition, combine it with the grace and subtlety of classical dance, and amazingly enough, some people will spend half their lives practicing it. We're talking about an event included in the Winter Olympics this year for the very first time, ice tennis. America is filled with a strong crop of youngsters in this challenging event, chief among them 16-year-old Kimberly Key from Huntington Beach, California. At my side, add analysis and more importantly, emotional impact to these proceedings is our own Dick Buttman.
Keith, ice tennis was invented in Malmö, Sweden, in 1958. It was a demonstration event in Lake Placid 4 years ago. And last year, an ice tennis exhibition was the hit of the Knoxville World's Fair. Basically, it consists of both a regular game of tennis played across a net on a rectangular ice surface two-thirds the size of the hockey surface and an exhibition of rhythmic technical moves with the racket on the ice to music. It is scored both for technical excellence as well as for artistic value as well, and to that are added whatever points are scored in the actual game with the ball.
Moments away now, a possible turning point for America in these games. 16-year-old Kimberly Key from Huntington Beach, California, and her partner Everett Min in their second compulsory game where all strokes have to be backhands. But first, let's meet 16-year-old Kimberly Key from Huntington Beach, California, up close and personal. It's a long, long way from Cameron Bay, Vietnam, to Sarajevo, Yugoslavia. But 16-year-old Kimberly Key only made half the trip. The daughter of Vietnamese refugees and the cousin of former Vice President Key, Kimberly grew up in the Orange County suburb of Huntington Beach, where her cousin runs two liquor stores. While war was still raging in her homeland, Kimberly was beginning the arduous routine of practicing those ice tennis routines up to 8 hours a day. Every day. Her former coach, Don Blyweiss, recalls those early days.
She was very small, very quick, very determined. Aside from coming late to practice and occasionally, you know, talking that Goonie talk when she got emotional, she was a marvelous little person to coach.
But it's not easy to remain committed to a sport that no one in your adopted country has ever heard of. Kimberly's father recalls a major turning point.
She stopped the ice tennis for a couple of years and took up the trombone instead. It was very hard to find good ice in California, and she could never get a partner at her skill level. So she joined her school band late in the year, and trombone was the only instrument they had left. It was a hard period for all of us, especially the neighbors.
Then Everett Min, another refugee child, moved into the neighborhood and reignited Kimberly's urge for greatness. Kimberly remembers meeting Everett for the very first time.
He was this great-looking Vietnamese guy and a great ice skater, too, you know? And something just went boing inside my head. Here we are today, you know?
They call her the Dragon Lady of the Frozen Court, not so much for her gritty determination, but just because she's Oriental. Dick, we've started.
The second compulsory is possibly the most demanding of the ice tennis routines. Backhand strokes perfectly timed to musical selections, which the rules require to be from several different eras, in international pop music. And of course, you want the shots to be good because the team accumulates points each time either partner scores. But you get more points for maintaining the flow of your routine to the music. Plus, of course, general appearance. Final part of the routine now. They will play at the net and at 1.5 rapinard on each shot. This could be exquisite or quite remarkably bad. There's Kimberly's. Everett just makes it all the way around. Oh, bad fall there.
Now, the fall doesn't necessarily disqualify you.
No, it gets you out of your rhythm, and it gets the back of your costume wet.
Ah, yes, an ice tennis appearance does count.
And ending it with the flying ace. Yes, yes, very nicely done. These two young Americans have everything in the world to be proud of, win, lose, or no opinion.
A crowd of appreciative spectators has fallen in love with 16-year-old Kimberly Key of Huntington Beach, California, and with her partner Everett Min. And with judges equally smitten, apparently. An 11, a 12, a 7 and 3 quarters.
Oh, excellent scores right across the board. The 7 and 3 quarters is from the judge from Nicaragua.
And it totals 133 points after the second compulsories, giving Key and Min a lock on the gold. Coming up, luge vaulting from Sarajevo and Jim Lampley with an amusing piece explaining why some of the people here don't speak any English.
I am not such a clever one about the latest fads. I admit I was never one adored by local lads. Not that I ever try to be a saint. I'm the type that they classify as quaint. I'm old-fashioned. I love the moonlight. I love the old-fashioned things. The sound upon a window pane, the starry song that April sings. This year's fancies are passing fancies, but sighing sighs, holding hands, my heart understands. I'm old-fashioned, but I don't mind it. That's how I want to be, as long as you agree to stay old-fashioned with me.
Now, we have been in receipt, we in the general public this week, of an excerpt from Hillary Clinton's memoir of the campaign.
What happened?
It's called What Happened. And here is that excerpt that we got this week.
This is not okay, I thought. It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me. Do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep?
Almost as if she hadn't expected it. It all does sound like a new edition of Clinton Something next here on the show.
Clinton Something.
The Wilderness Years.
But I thought we'd already released some of the excerpts from the audiobook.
We did. But we can just say certain parts of the narration were remastered, you know, like they do with old LPs.
Yeah. Bill always laughed at me for keeping my LPs.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had them now. I had the original Beatles Yesterday and Today album, you know, the one with them as butchers on the cover.
Mm-hmm. So was that a yes on re-recording the Trump debate section?
I don't know. What if somebody notices that we actually changed it?
Legal. That always works.
Hmm. Or that since the name of the book is What Happened, mm-hmm. we wanted to double check that what you're reading is, in fact, mm-hmm. what... I'd like to ask Bill.
Well, Miss Hillary, I guess you can.
Listen, keep the studio time. I'll let you know.
Okay. They also would like the new reading to be, you know, a little warmer.
Yeah, yeah, always warmer. Bye.
So, what'd you want to ask me? I'm here all week.
What is this, Q&A night at the Improv?
No, hon. I really am here all week, and next week, and the week after that. No big CGI forum this year. No reason to go into the city. Or, looking at my schedule, any city.
You knew this day would come. The Global Initiative has achieved its purpose.
Oh, it's true. I've gotten to know the richest fellows on the globe really well.
And its avowed purpose.
Right.
Helping millions of people around the world.
Yeah, that too.
So winding down isn't such a bad thing. Take it from me. I've done it big time, twice.
I know. And you're right, I did know this was coming. But still, the dinners, the luncheons, the brunches, and then all the guests arrive and all the great conversations that ensue. You know, it was thanks to a cognitive scientist at one of the CGI meetings that I learned that eels have incredibly sensitive hearing.
That's nice. Listen, darling, while you're here...
Hey, I'm not going anywhere unless you want me to help out on the book tour.
Help out how? I mean... It's my book, my story, about my experience of the campaign. People are going to want me to say hello, to autograph their copy.
And you're sounding a little Trumpy there, Toots.
Mm-hmm. And you're beginning to look a little Bob Dolish around the neck.
Well,
Bill, I don't want you traveling around with me like a... Like a...
Like a dutiful wife?
I wasn't going to put it that way. But... Let's put it that way.
Okay.
You've got plenty to do here. Mm-hmm. Wrapping up the donor disclosures, stuff like that.
Oh, look, you know as well as I do the lawyers are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I could come out before you, introduce you, be what the rappers call your hype man.
Darling, you've always been my hype man.
I'm going to choose to take that as a compliment.
Good. Now, I did have something to ask you.
Hype man and trusted advisor.
Right.
Go.
Should I redo the audiobook section on the second debate? Some of the kids in Hillary Land think Philippe's tape will start getting more traction, and, you know, I should at least make a glancing mention of the fact that I had rehearsed pushing Trump away.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a Shakespearean question.
Hmm?
To let it all hang out or to not let it all hang out.
Right. Very Oxford of you. Now get Little Rock with me.
Well... Too late to change the printed book.
Not for the e-book.
E-book sales going down, babe.
But if it's in both the audio and e-versions, then we can say that the print version is just a...
A misprint version?
Right. They left out a paragraph and...
Budget cuts at the publishers have meant fewer proofreaders.
Right. It'll be corrected in the second edition and...
And the first will become a collector's item.
But you know what?
What?
What they printed is... What I actually wrote, what I actually feel. Yeah, I rehearsed it, and then on the night of the debate, I froze because he really did creep me out.
Mm-hmm. The whole deeper truth bit.
You could say that.
I think I just did.
You know what? I think I'm going to leave it be. The only time they could record me is Tuesday, and the director thinks LeBron won't be back till Wednesday.
It's a scheduling thing. Got it. And as far as the hype man gig, you know, I can set you up like nobody else.
I'm aware of that. Let me think about it.
Youthful angst and mature reverie. Together, they add up to Clinton something, the wilderness years.
This was a year when the news media focused to a remarkable degree on the tweets of the administration rather than on their, let's say, policies. So tweets became front page news, occupied hours and hours of airtime on the cable news channels. And so did one word that was tweeted apparently accidentally.
You know, once I could fly in my plane through the sky to a place that was called Covfefe. Like some kind of dream, it was champagne and cream. People would call me El Jefe. But where is it now? I wrinkle my brow, but I can't find my way back to Covfefe. Say, there's no friggin' way. There's a place that's so beachy and leafy. My head I would shake. I'd say it's not fake, and it's probably called Covfefe. But was it a trap? You know, I look at the map. There's no place called Covfefe. Now it's too late. There's too much on my plate to search for a refuge so reefy. The skeptics are right. I gave up the fight to return to the calm of Covfefe. My fantasy I have renounced. My paradise is thoroughly trounced. I don't know how the hell it's pronounced. Covfefe. 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 Covfefe.
You know, by the way, the phrase, as the word liar has come into political usage again, another phrase has returned to the political lexicon, credibility gap. I've heard it all around that this administration has a credibility gap. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
The credibility gap wants to help you bring out your better self. If you look good, you feel good too, and the credibility gap can do that for you. Shopping convenience, easy to park. The credibility gap is really a lark. But the quality's high and the prices are thrifty. The credibility gap can make you look nifty.
The funny 50s and the snickering 60s, when the world still knew how to laugh. Now and only now, from now on, KSL Records is proud to present 16 Golden Bits from comedy's fabulous past, recreated by the Laugh Masters, Volume 1. Imagine for the first time on one LP recording the voices of your favorite comedy records from the past. Thrillingly simulated in hypophonic stereo and high-impact Flimsigroove vinyl. Guaranteed not to tear. Remember Jose Jimenez in The Astronaut?
My name, Jose Jimenez. The Astronaut.
Remember Bob Newhart in The Driving Instructor?
No, no, Mrs. Smith. What's that? You say you just made a left turn?
And who'll ever forget those golden goons, the goons?
Nettie, what's that on your face?
It's my trousers.
Yes, these and 12 other comedy classics from the golden age of recorded laughter are yours and many, many more if you act now. And if you really act now, you'll receive in addition this incredible bonus, Volume 2 of the same record. You'll hear and laugh again at the Laugh Masters doing Mort Saul.
Right?
Shelley Berman.
Oh, really?
Nichols and May.
You're sick. I know.
And that kooky Kennedy clan from the First Family.
And the rubber duck is mine.
You couldn't buy this amazing package of comedy memories at $100 or more, anywhere, anymore, if you act now. But for a limited time only, thanks to a recent antitrust ruling that comedians cannot have a monopoly on their own material, you can get 16 golden bits from comedy's fabulous past, volumes 1 and 2, for only pennies a day. Send blank check or money order to...
Cash, Box 683, Mail Drop, Minnesota.
For quick handling, mark on envelope, not a bill or collection statement. You can tell it's KSL. We yell.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay. I'm coming home, baby.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting here for you.
I'm coming home now real soon.
You've been gone.
Coming home, baby, now.
You don't know what I'm going through.
I'm coming home, I know I'm overdue.
Since you went away.
Expect me any day now real soon. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm praying every night
that everything is gonna be fine.
Please come on.
Coming home, baby, now.
I want to feel you hold me tight.
Expect to see me now anytime.
When I'm in your arms.
You're in my arms, I'll be fine. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm counting every day.
I'm coming home now, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Use your phone.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
And baby, let me hear you say.
I'm coming home, you hearing what I say.
That you're coming home.
And I never will go away.
Hey.
I'm coming home. Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting at the door.
They can't hold me back now, no more.
All alone.
I'm pressing on, baby, now.
And pacing up and down the floor.
Oh, hear me holler and hear me roar.
Say you'll be with me.
Gonna be with you evermore. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Oh, baby, say you're coming home.
That's what I say I'm coming home.
Something's wrong.
The road is long, baby, now.
What do either ride or phone?
I'm coming home and never more to roam.
Baby, tell me you're
baby, I'm for sure coming home. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Come on home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
Come on home. Excuse me. Aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Tom Brokaw.
Wow.
And you?
Oh, I'm just out here for a little hike.
Mm.
What are you doing way out?
Trying to avoid being asked about Matt Lauer. Part of my curiosity goes with the job, but didn't I see you limping?
Yeah, I hurt my ankle. The TV ad said I shouldn't take the medicine I was prescribed if I'm allergic to it, which I am.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
What are you going to do?
I'll tell you what I do. I take Allerfree.
What's Allerfree?
It's the latest discovery from the lab that brought you Placebrex. Allerfree is the first medication specifically designed to be allergy-free.
Wow. How do they do that?
Unlike anything else you can buy with or without a prescription, Allerfree contains no active ingredients. Nothing that can upset your stomach, give you a rash or headaches. Nothing that can trigger an immune response.
Not even any flavoring?
Not even any coloring.
Huh.
See? It's a pale gray little pill.
Yeah.
And because there are no active ingredients, you can take Allerfree for anything in full confidence that your only reaction will be relief.
Pain relief?
Relief from worrying about allergies.
Hmm.
Then your body can do its own job of healing.
You know, that sounds like the right kind of New Age medicine.
You said it.
And no active ingredients must mean...
No voice coming in at this point to talk very fast about side effects.
Wow.
The only side effect to Allerfree is peace of mind.
Well, sounds like I should ask my doctor if Allerfree is right for me.
You don't believe Tom Brokaw?
Allerfree, from the makers of Placebrex. Medicine that stays out of your way.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you may have figured out by now, almost the entire way through the program, that this was mainly a collage of stuff from previous years of the show. I'm still working on a film here in New Orleans, and this program was produced and edited by Tom Roach, to whom my eternal thanks. The show returns next week, same time, same radio station, or on your audio device of choice when you choose. Love to rejoin with you then. This program comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. Reminding you that fentanyl is not spelled with an O. This is Harry Shearer saying so long from the Crescent City.